Hey, what's up, guys? It's your boy Days, and you're about to watch Thorin rant for about 3 hours.
Wagwan, bruv. If you want to chat bear-ish about my energy drink, Gamersops, man like Nico will say, shut up. That's a par. Allow it. So get gassed and get 10% off with the code Thorin in it. The streets will never forget a drink like Gamersops. Booyakasha! Now, Nico is one of the best players in CS history and has an extremely elite body of work. If you're just watching all the regular games, like 90% of his career, he's one of the best to ever do it. Some argue the best ever with a rifle. But he has shown clear performance issues under the biggest pressure, most famously at the majors and the prestige events. He and his teams, let's be real, they just break down there, don't they? And they have trouble getting either getting over the line if it's a close game or it's an OT game, or just playing their best CS, playing like they would play at a random blast at just a normal IEM that isn't like a Krakow, Krakow, or a Katowice, or a Cologne, etc. Hence why, sadly, people call him a choker. And people constantly harp on the fact that he hasn't won the major, which is unfortunately, to some people, if you look at his resume, the defining character of his career is that he's the guy who didn't win the major. Maybe he's the greatest to ever win the major. As I said in that little video I did for LFN, I'd say better than most who ever did. Now, you look at how many chances he's had to win the majors. That's another problem, isn't it? It's not like he's a guy who had one or two chances or no chances. Yes, when he was in Mouse, he had no chance. But then when he went to FaZe, people forget this. When he joined FaZe, they were like the number two team in the world or something going into that first major, the Krakow major. Then obviously the next year in 2018, they had a very good roster that was winning events and was world elite. And they were at Boston. They obviously could have won in OT there. They had the Face It one, where again, they were one of the strongest teams coming into it. Then he goes to G2. Now, what people will forget is, yes, early on, the one with Alexi B, he had Baby Monacy, etc. That one couldn't get it together generally as a roster. But once he got Hooksy, people will forget, at the end of that year, they won the Blast World Finals. And the next year, they won the two prestige events of the Katowice and Cologne. So you look, if they'd have actually qualified to IEM Rio, that playoffs ended up being wide open. People like Vitality and FaZe did it, the best teams in the world, didn't even make the playoffs. Either Team Liquid, a whole bunch of teams just bombed out early. So if you'd have gotten to that major, you'd have had a real chance to win it. You look at Blast Paris, that was right after they'd won Katowice with G2. You look at Antwerp in early CS2. You could argue Monacy played the best CS of anyone in that major, and they were in the semis on the third map. All they needed was someone like Nico to just come with a bit of a bigger game. They could have been in the final and potentially won it. That G2 core used to always hold it over FaZe Clan in the big games, except for the odd major, wasn't it? And then at Shanghai, obviously that was an example of what I just referenced. On paper, after you got through that miracle game against Heroic, where he did an awesome job, you're supposed to just beat that FaZe Clan who looked so kind of stale and lifeless in that second season, and yes, had a miracle run, but even so, they were right there to potentially be beaten, and you had so much experience beating that core, and you lost again. Then you come to Falcons. Remember, by the time you got to Austin, you already had Monacy, and he was fucking really good, and you were looking like potentially the number two team in the world. You didn't even make the playoffs. Then you go to Budapest. You barely get up the Swiss system, even though you come in again as a really strong team, maybe second or third favourite for the major. You make the playoffs and just get instantly bounced by Spirit, with Chexnaught's Zwei being the one to beat your ass. And then add in, even when he's won big titles, like he did win IEM Katowice, it wasn't him carrying boys. Like, I'll show you here. If you go to that the event, right, remember, it was won by G2 with pretty good numbers, best fragging team in the tournament. Right, there's JKS, the fourth best player of that team, 1.24 rating. There's Hunter, Nico's cousin, who I always joke was put here by God to show us that actually Nico is just special and it isn't just like being in his team, whatever. Like, he's even got his genetics and he can't be as good as him, but he was better than him in this tournament. But you go elsewhere. This is the team. I did the playoff filter here. In the playoffs, Hunter is doing mega. JKS is doing mega. Nico was just all right. These are very pedestrian numbers. Monacy had his issues too. But these are pedestrian. And then in the final, when they're against Heroic, one of the better teams, it's 2023. It's a BO5 final. They won 3-1. One map was even dominant. Nico's pure fragging numbers are good, but there's a reason he's plus 175 ADR and not really particularly good rating. That's even a rare prestige tournament he won. Now, true, at Cologne later in the same year, yeah, he was dominant there. He should have been the MVP. He was the MVP, I think. He was mega at that tournament, yeah. But that's one. That's one. And yeah, he also had that major PGL Stockholm. Yeah, he was really good at that one, wasn't he? I've even done a whole Substack piece about how epic he was. And I'll never let people say, just because he missed a deagle shot in the final, that would have only taken you, in my opinion, to a third map and basically allowed you to get your ass beat by Navi, who was almost unbeatable at that time. I don't hold that against him, but it's a rare example where he didn't have his issues, isn't he? So my problem is you go down it, and it's hard to make excuses. Like, he's had very good teammates and very good teams. Now, true, yeah, I guess you could always say, which I always love for people like him and Guardian, true, he doesn't get to communicate in his native language, does he? But Vitality and FaZe have shown you can win majors and prestige events with fully international rosters and everyone speaking second language English. Obviously, the joke is, yes, I know Mezzi speaks first language English, but they did win that other major without Mezzi, didn't they? Then you look, normally winning majors also can be about having an all-time great IGL. He's had an all-time great IGL. He's had Carrigan. He's had Alexi B. By the way, these guys are not only great and will be like Hall of Famers one day, maybe more debatable for Alexi B, but they're also people who went on to win the major without Nico and arguably with no player as good as Nico in their roster. That surely has got to make you stop and think, especially if you're Nico or even if you're just someone thinking about this topic. Then I'll even throw this out there. As well as having things like great IGL, great teams, great teammates, he's also had some generational AWPers. He had Guardian in Guardian's last sort of mini peak when he was in FaZe. Then later on, he had baby Monacy, and then eventually really good Monacy, and then best player in the world Monacy. He's had some players, boys. He's had some real talent around him. So here's the food for thought that this video is going to be about. Like the title says, maybe it was Nico all along. That's right. It was me, Austin. It was me all along. Now, I'm not doing it on that thing of like, oh, it's just toxic. And he said, shut up once to Chris J. So yes, listen, yeah, back in FaZe, before he went to G2, I did think Nico was a bit of an arsehole. I did think he was a bit passive aggressive, a little bit of a princess, and a little bit too prickly. And you had to wear kid gloves and walk on eggshells around all those euphemisms and cliches that you love. But I actually think from G2 onwards, he's been a pretty good teammate, seemingly. Like, he's actually made his game a lot more versatile. He's brought in a lot of more sort of utility player. He's even been willing to be a bit more of an entry type playmaker type player than he was before, where I always thought he was an amazing like lurkish type player when he was in FaZe. And he's someone who's even done some secondary calling. He's even been an IGL at certain tournaments in his career and even had success doing it. It seems like he's cleaned his attitude up. I also think one thing people don't give him credit for after Mouse is he did get in shape and then stay in shape. He used to be a fat little fucking nugget, didn't he, before him called Zera and my boy Guardian, like bloody hell, looked like a bunch of meatballs. But a bunch of fucking bitterball and shout out Netherlands. Now he's actually been in shape for years now. He's actually a pretty good role model for up-and-coming players. The longevity, how he looks, the fact that he's clean up. Now, true, he still does have a face like a slapped arse every time either he or someone fucks up in a game. And he still cannot be stoic. I wrote a whole article about once on a website about how he could use some stoicism and some of that Marcus Aurelius thought thinking. Yeah, he does maybe like bring a bit of the team atmosphere down because you think, oh, I've let Nico down. Oh, bloody hell, we're losing. Look, there's my stud player and he's fucking losing his mind because of the way we lost that round. I'm not talking, by the way, about when he banged the table when he almost did the 1v5 or whatever against Vitality at that blast fall or whatever. Like, actually, that was a legit moment to be angry. He just does it otherwise, seemingly, when anything goes wrong in the game in a big match. So my problem is this. If you think about Nico's teams, here's why I think it might just be that it was Nico all along. Because he's the only through line. He's the only thread connecting them all. He's the only common denominator in all of his teams. Now, how did all of Nico's teams play? By the way, what made me think about this was when I made that video about Rain, Johnny 100 Thieves as the IGL. I pointed out every team Rain's ever played in has been a team that was quite loose with all international players and didn't use like structure and detailed tactics and kind of really like minutia detail-based play calling. So I thought, how's he going to be a great IGL? So similarly, you think of every Nico team. Don't they all have a very similar identity and profile? Spoiler, it's just the identity and profile of Nico. They're loose teams based around having big fragging and stars. They play instinctual CS and they seem to mid-round a lot of otherwise quite simple openers and game states. And they rely on things like Nico feeling the game, making a call, doing a great play, and then outshooting the opponent. You think about when he was in Mouse back in the day, and he was the RGL in 2016. Yeah, they were doing all that. Just the problem is his teammates were much worse. Or they were chokers like fucking necks, so they just couldn't get it done over the line. And he had to drop 40 bombs to have a chance to win. And then sometimes didn't. Then he had Faze, right? Early on, yeah, he had Carrigan. Because Carrigan had all these international players, he couldn't use a more tactical style that he used in Astralis. In the first phase, Rain was the second best player. In the next phase, the super team with Orphmeister and Guardian. You could argue Guardian was probably the second best player. Then Rain was like an amazing third star. Then you go to G2. Yeah, the early lineups were scoffed with Kenny S. But after that, when he got cooking, he got to 2021. Wasn't it, again, like a bit loose, a bit instinctual, and a bit based on how Nico mid-rounded in the middle of the game, etc. Then you come to Falcons. It's the same story all over again. Every team is like this. Similar to what I said about Rain, I'll ask you that question. Like, what team did Nico ever play for that was super tactical? What team did he ever play for that had like a controlled style, that was like loads of structure, set calls, like big playbook? Have you ever seen them with a really big playbook like Na'Vi in an Eco team? What team was he ever in, by the way, that was really good under pressure? Am I missing something? Other people, Carrigan, have gone, Alexi B, have gone to be fabulous match players and clutch callers, and other people in their careers have been amazing. When they're in Eco's teams, everyone seems to just become him. He seems to be the person who influenced it, and they just have his strengths and his failures. That's the thing. I actually think Nico teams, whether consciously or unconsciously, just play his style either because it's good for Nico or to accommodate him, to suit his style. So you think about it, they are mid-round, frag-heavy, individual skill teams where he tends to be the secondary caller. Now, the problem there is they also have his flaws. Those can be strengths, all those things I said. They can have his flaws or too, which is when fragging isn't working, they fall apart. That's what happens to Nico. When his instincts, his feel for the game to make the red rounds isn't there, he freezes up. Suddenly he can't make those amazing calls and be in that flow state. In terms of the atmosphere he brings and his attitude and the way he presents himself and holds himself on camera, they seem like they can enter negative spirals where everything goes wrong, even mega super talented teams, and everything goes to shit and their mental state collapses. Much as happens to Nico seemingly. I think one of the problems is this. Not only does he actually not seem particularly reflective about what I've just said. In fact, in loads of interviews, he always seems to kind of stress the idea he doesn't tell people how to play or how he wants them to play or what to do. And he just lets them be them. But guess what? Magically, they all do things your way, don't they? Seemingly make it fit you. You know what? You're the most veteran player. You're the most legendary player of the team. Yeah, they take their cues from you. They're learning the game from you. They're watching and observing what you do. And they're emulating it like children do with their parents. So I would just say this. I think actually one thing, it's a very human mistake to make, is I think he underestimates how hard his style is to pull off for himself and for others. I'll give you a quick example. Two of my favourite NFL players ever are quarterbacks. They are Peyton Manning of the Colts and the Broncos, and they're Aaron Rodgers of the Packers. We don't talk about the Jets and the Steelers. Now, if you don't know, those two quarterbacks both had their own idiosyncratic strengths and weaknesses. Peyton Manning would try to, I think whether you've heard this before, he would try and be like Carrigan and read the game and make the perfect call and come up with stuff on the fly and at the line of scrimmage. The problem was, if that ever went wrong in the playoffs, your teammates couldn't pull it off, or you choked or made the wrong call, you'd just lose in really embarrassing fashion. You didn't have sort of the floor to carry you through those tough moments. And Aaron Rodgers was always throwing the hardest pass because he might be the best and most accurate and longest, fastest, everything thrower ever, but he would rely on that too much. And in every conference game, he'd always be throwing some bonkers number right across the bloody bonkers throw right across the numbers, right at the edge of the bloody field. And then if the person doesn't make the catch or there's an interception, your game's fucked. So similarly, you think of Nico's style. If you're trying to do quick calls, be really instinctual, react immediately correctly, outskill people, some of the best teams in the world, while also holding your poise and not necessarily having something to fall back to when things go bad, or a baseline sort of playbook approach. Yeah, you know what? Lesser or more inexperienced players are going to suffer. Let's be real. They're going to suffer for a reason. Even good players are going to suffer. They aren't Nico. They aren't him. A real human flaw people make is when they're good at something, they think it's obvious. They think everyone could do it if they just listened to them and copied them. I actually told you, this is what Simple used to do wrong back in the day in Flipside. He really was the guy who was sort of like, you are holding the site wrong in Russian, obviously. Let me do it for a round in a scrim. Then he'd go there, frag four people in the head, and then just go, That is how you hold the site. That's why that fucking Play Like Simple thing ended up being ass, isn't it? Because he just thought he could just sort of make simple comments and you could just understand all the implied context of what he meant by that and all the almost macro concepts that he's saying as a simple word that are supposed to invoke and images in your mind, but he's not explaining them. And even if he did, you aren't simple. You can't think like him and you can't do some of the things and some of the moves he can do. So I have to say, whether he did it consciously, I do think his teams are too much about him and his comfort level, whether that's him making them be like that and making them play at his comfort level or what. By the way, sometimes in teams, when you're a really good player and your team's really good, sometimes it's okay to be a little bit uncomfortable to accommodate this guy on a map, to accommodate something about the calling style. How about think about Michael Jordan's success in the triangle offense? In theory, Michael Jordan was a higher scoring player and could have been a better player outside of the triangle offense. He was willing to play in it some of the time to allow the rest of the team to be able to shine, like the bench famously in the Bulls or some of the lesser starters, then he could always say, right, fuck that, in the big moment, I'm going to take the game, now give me the ball. Nico could do it that way, but it seems like instead, from the beginning of the game onwards, it's all just Nico CS, isn't it? In all these teams, even though there's not a single shared teammate across all the teams, is there? I would hope this is genuinely something, if he ever sits down and thinks about it, hopefully before he retires, he actually realises there's sort of at least a grain of truth to what I'm saying. And let me just contrast him for a second with what I think is a fair comparison. Who is an all-time great rifler who's even played in a couple of Nico's former teams, who isn't as good and as great as Nico, by the way, but has accomplished more and doesn't have these flaws? It's obviously Rops, isn't it? He was later a guy in Mouse solo carrying, but also having Carrigan and having success. He was a guy that's been in FaZe Clan with Carrigan, had success there, etc. He's even had success since then. What happens when you think about Rops, on the other hand? Oh, Nico's a better player, probably a more skilled player, probably a more legendary player. Doesn't have as good a resume, though. He has more longevity, but even then, we'll see how that goes, because Rops is still cooking. Rops has won 2 majors and a Grand Slam and every big trophy in CS. Right, one of the reasons why is, first of all, he lets himself be in-game led. Seemingly, Eco never got it with Carrigan and Alexi B. For some reason, they weren't good enough, or like, they didn't meet his standards or what he wanted. He thought they were overrated. But magically, they work with other and lesser pieces. And what, they can never learn those lessons with you and then start winning with you. They have to go and learn them and win with someone else. Like, why? And also, why do you then never seem to learn the lessons? Also, Rops is someone who's very good under pressure. And has got a game that can be replicated, even though, you know what, yes, his is based on idiosyncrasies, like brilliant reads of the game and seeing a play that no one else even imagines could happen and being able to execute the initial steps to get into it and then make a legendary play. Well, the difference is, compared to Nico, it's night and day. This guy, Rops, is born for the big moment. He's been in that bloody crucible a million times over and he's come out dusting off all the coal and he's fucking golden. That's where Nico gets burned up and he's just fucking nothing. He's just ashes afterwards, isn't he? So I would hope when people think of this, it's mainly a food for thought video. But yeah, I'll ask the same question. Maybe it was just Nico all along. Maybe these teams are just Nico. If you've heard that I'm a bad man, it's only in the Jamaican sense. Well, you know what? Here's my posse that's keeping me held down. And that's, of course, my Patreon community, the Skrilluminati. So this video and the others on my channel are brought to you in association with Matt Pugnaccio Rakula, Ben Glass, Toucan, Nikki, Jason, Jensen Gore. A special thanks goes out always to my main man, Jerky's Minion, and American Yone. Do you want to suggest a topic or a guest for my content? Would you like to take part in one of those lengthy donated discussions with me where you set the topics? Do you want teasers, find out who the upcoming interview subjects are? Maybe you want to ask me a question in my video AMA? Well, if any of the above perks tickle your fancy, put your money where your mouth is and join the Skrilluminati today, where? At the Patreon link in the description box below. Booyah!